Although we did have a service Wednesday that was wonderful, and thank you to Brother Dwayne and Pastor Ed for participating, and Brother Dwayne for preaching, Pastor Ed for leading us in communion. It was a wonderful time. I just wanted to say thank you as we get into this. But Dwayne talked about preparing, which, funny enough, is actually the theme for this week. So he kind of took my sermon. And then he preached on my text a little bit from Matthew 24, 36 through 44. But that's okay, because I'm going to expand on this one a little bit more as we get into watchfulness, which is kind of watchfulness and hope is the theme for the first week. And sorry to put you on blast, Dwayne, I love you. Threw me off, we're a little out of order, but this is working. And I think it's every bit as good, because it all really ties together. And really it ties together with what is the theme of Advent. What does Advent mean? Advent simply means, if you're like me, and you've never thought about the meaning of the word before or looked it up, it just means the impending or imminent arrival of something or someone of power or great importance. Basically, Advent means something big's about to happen. Somebody powerful and important is about to show up. So what do we do when we know something big is about to happen, somebody powerful and important is about to show up at our door? Dwayne talked about it a little bit. You clean. You get ready for them. You do the things you need to do to be ready when company comes over to stay for a while. If you have a guest room, but you've just, you know, you've kind of thrown laundry in there kind of as you've been washing it and drying it, but you're just crazy busy so you don't fold it all the time, or maybe you folded it and it doesn't get away, but it's sitting there on the guest bed and, like, you know, you're hiding the kids' Christmas presents underneath the bed or in there in the room. Kids in here, no, mom and dad aren't really hiding your presents in the spare room, so don't go looking there. Don't look anywhere for them. Don't be like I was. Just let it be. But what do? You prepare, you clean the room, you get it ready. You don't just throw them on a couch with a blanket if you have something nicer. You give them that nice thing. And that's kind of where Dwayne went and kind of what we talked about. And this week we're going to talk a little bit about watching for that impending arrival of the important big thing and the important powerful person coming into our lives. So let's take a look. Jesus is talking here in Matthew 24. This whole section, he's talking about the destruction of the temple, signs of the end times, and about the second coming. We're not going to focus in on those verses. We're going to take a look at what he has to say about when it's going to happen. Verse 36, Jesus says, "But about that day or hour when this stuff is going to happen, no one really knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Lord, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your word, alive and active, that came in flesh as the man Jesus, your Christ, the Messiah. Word, come again, anew, alive, and active in us. Speak now. Amen. So in this text, Jesus is here talking. He is basically he's talking about Advent. That's really what Jesus is talking about here, which is an interesting concept because we're in the Christmas Advent season, and Jesus is here talking about, effectively, Advent. But Jesus has already come. In fact, not only has Jesus has come and he is a grown man and he is preached and he is taught. He's actually nearing the end of his life when he's going to be crucified. He is now to the point in his life and ministry when he is not just talking about, hey, this is what I'm going to do, this is what's going to happen. He is talking about like, hey, this is like the end of days and my second coming. He's already talking about when he's coming back again. Which is kind of appropriate to think about for us, isn't it? Because Christmas is a wonderful time of celebration, and Advent is a wonderful time of preparation. But we're not preparing for the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born a couple millennia ago. It's done. We're not preparing for the arrival of God to come down to earth in flesh. That happened. He came. The Word that created the universe came in flesh as Jesus. He lived an entire life, was put to death on a cross, died, buried, was resurrected, ministered some more for a little while, and then was raised to heaven, where the Word now sits at the Father's right hand on the throne of heaven, advocating and speaking to and for you and me. Okay, so if we're not preparing for the advent of Christ's birth, and it is a good thing to celebrate, because in it we remember God's love and his coming. What is the advent we need to be looking for? We just got back from our trip in New Hampshire that we take every year around Thanksgiving. And it's a fun time, and I love it. I love going. We make tremendous memories. It's a lot of fun. It's also a lot of work. There's the preparation that we do in advance of the trip. We have to pack. Well, first we have to plan, what are we packing? And we have to kind of take a look at the weather forecast. What's it going to be like when we're back there? Is it going to be 45 degrees up in the mountains, or is it going to be -5 degrees in the mountains? Because honestly, it's usually both. The week that we're there, we get both. We get there, it's warm and nice, and then it's like we bring the cold sad with us from Michigan. Like, I don't know what we're doing out here, but suddenly it was like -10 outside in New Hampshire at the base of Mount Washington. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is this: we have the preparation to do, and that is a lot of work and a lot of stress sometimes, but it's effort and energy that goes into going on this trip. And then there is the work of the trip itself. The work of the trip is getting all the kids wrangled in the morning early to leave. Gavin is laughing because Gavin has experienced this with us this year as Gavin drove in a car behind us. Gavin was not in the car with three small children. Gavin was driving his own vehicle. Scripture says, do not covet. I'm trying. But we get in the car, we wrangle the kids, we get them in their car seats, we get the cars, they're packed up, we're ready to go. And isn't it amazing how especially when you're traveling with children, you can pack up the car and everything is so nice and organized and you're ready to go. And like, I don't know what it is, but like that first stop can be 15 minutes later and everything is just destroyed. I don't know what that has to do with this sermon, but just an observation that maybe you can relate to. That I certainly did. But we get going, we're on the road, and then it's the work of driving, which is sitting there while moving your arms a little bit and kind of adjusting your feet every now and again, right? Driving shouldn't be that hard, but driving, especially when you're doing it for 8 to 10 hours at a time before you stop and sleep in a strange place on a strange bed, surrounded by small children and now a teenaged adult who is a joy to have. It's a lot of work. Why is it that exhausting? And why do we do this? Well, it's exhausting because you're not just driving, are you? You're not just moving forward on the road. You're not just sitting there. It's not like watching a TV show or a movie or reading a good book. When you are driving, what are you really doing? You're watching. You're watching the road. You're watching your GPS or your map or the road signs or doing whatever you need to do to get safely. And frankly, a lot of the time, you're watching the other people on the road because I don't know what this genius is up to and why are they drifting in their lane like that? Why are they varying their speed? Does your car not have cruise control? It's 2019, and that is a Honda Civic from like 2012. Did they not put cruise control in that? Just set it and go. Sorry, I'm getting a little worked up. I just dealt with this for 4+ days on the road. But it's exhausting because you're constantly watching and you're constantly adjusting to make sure that you don't have one of those wonderful people who is also, I'm sure, just going to see friends and family and trying to go about their business. But sometimes it doesn't seem like there's any reason for it. They just, I don't know, get in front of your car and hit the brakes. No reason, just happens. And you've got somebody following a little closely behind you. I didn't have that this trip. But sometimes it does, and you have to push on the brakes. Now, too hard, you'll hit the car behind you is going to rear end you, and you have a problem. Too slowly, or not at all, and you're going to rear end the car in front of you. And when we're traveling through New York, that's a problem because New York is not a no-fault state, so I now have to pay their deductible, and my insurance rates are going to go up, and no thank you. And so it's just tiring and exhausting because you're constantly watching everything all the time. And because the reality is you're not just watching for your sake. You have to protect your property, your person, and in the case of family road trips, your family. And so the stakes are higher. And the work is even more important. That work of watchfulness and that work of safe driving. So why do we do it? Why do we go on this expensive, long road trip to go back and see some people, a few of whom we are closely related to, many we are at this point marginally related to, like third and fourth cousins, when we could just stay at home, not put in the work, have less stress, make Thanksgiving dinner ourselves. Shelley, when you watch this, your Thanksgiving dinner is perfect. Thank you. We go because of what we get out of the trip, don't we? We go because of what is waiting for us on the road, and then at the end of the road, right? On the road, even though nobody really likes taking a 4-year-old into a public restroom to do his or her business, it has to happen. But there are those little moments that you just don't expect along the road that you're going to stop and you're going to have something just hilarious happen. I'm not going to get into all the details, but let's just say it's a wonderful moment when your kid says something funny in a public restroom and you hear several people laugh. And that something happens to be Thanks for helping me poop, Dad. You're so welcome. And then you get out. Thanks for helping me wash my hands, Dad. You're welcome, buddy. Washing your hands is important, isn't it? Yeah, you got to wash the germs off. That's right. That's right, we do. Thanks for teaching me to wipe my hands on my pants, Dad. You're welcome, bud. Because we don't use the hand dryers because it's just bathroom germs circulated through the air, but warmed slightly. And you have those moments on the road and those tender moments where you stop for lunch and your kids snuggle into your side because they've been cooped up in a car seat and they're just glad to be out of it and glad to be together as a family. And you have fun. Fun you didn't expect. Or because you stop and you have to go to the grocery store to get dinner to cook at the hotel and you find that they have sushi and you know that your oldest loves sushi, so you bring it back and it's a surprise and he just gets unbelievably excited. And it's those wonderful moments on the road that you wouldn't have had if you had stayed home. But also because those are the icing on the cake. The real prize is what waits. Seeing my father-in-law, whom I love, who I get along with famously, when Alyssa's siblings are there. The love that is shared and the gifts that symbolize the love that goes back and forth and is exchanged over the weekend. Letting my kids interact with their cousins who are just a few years older than them and watching them play so well together and cultivate and develop those deeper friendships. Deeper friendships that have led to things like Gavin coming to live with us. Could have stayed in New Hampshire, but instead he said, I've got family not far from Delta College, and that's where I want to go to study welding, and I'm going to live with David and Alyssa. David and Alyssa said, yeah, all right. Sounds good. Things like that wouldn't have happened had we stayed home and not put in the work. So that's the importance of watchfulness. And in there, you heard those things that we need to be watchful for. Maybe you didn't recognize them, maybe you did, but that was full of Advent moments, wasn't it? That story in our lives. The Advent moment of an impending trip. This is something important that is coming, so you need to prepare. On the road, there are Advent moments that we don't recognize necessarily unless we're watching for them. Somebody else coming into my lane. Suddenly, that can become a big, important, powerful moment. That becomes an Advent moment when I need to be paying attention and adjust my life so that I don't crash and hurt myself and my family and my stuff. Sometimes there are those moments on the road that, like, you see somebody has pulled off to the side, and you see the silhouettes in the car with the hazards on, and you're going, somebody's in there, I need to stop and help. Well, that's an Advent moment, because that's a big, important moment in their lives for sure. It could be in yours of what to do, whether that is navigating your way around safely so that they are safe and you are safe, or that is stopping and helping them. But you wouldn't know if you're not watching, if you're not paying attention. That's why texting and driving is not legal and is a bad idea. And even though I don't know if it's illegal, watching movies while you drive, I've seen some people do it. I don't think that's wise. I'm seeing some shaking heads. That's good. I'm glad we're all on the same page here. Don't watch movies and drive your car. That's a bad decision. Because you'll miss what's happening if you're not watching out for it. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the Advent moment of God moving among His people. And our need to be vigilant in watching for that. Because God is powerful, yes? Okay, let's try that again. God is powerful, yes? There it is. God is important, yes? When God moves, it matters, right? Yes. I know I'm changing the words there, so you don't know how to respond. That's okay. Answering in the affirmative is always appropriate when we're talking about God's goodness, power, and might. So Jesus is telling us we need to be watchful, and really it kind of, just like in the road trip metaphors, in a couple of ways. We need to be vigilant in our lives over when those things come into our lives that could threaten our stability in our faith journey. And isn't it appropriate that we call it a faith journey and a faith walk? We're on this road towards holiness, towards Christ. And sometimes on the road, things come along. Call it temptation, call it stress that leads to temptation. Call it what you will. There's a lot of different things it could be, aren't there, that come into our lives and threaten to get in front of us, slam the brakes, and if we don't respond well, we crash, causing a problem for us, our families, hurting us, hurting the people around us, if we're not very, very careful. You with me on that? We got to stay watchful over those things. We got to stay watchful for those things to happen. As Christians, maintaining the purity of Christ in our lives is of paramount importance. And there are some things that we need to watch out for and avoid. And it's those situations that lead us to temptations, that lead us towards sin. Because if we don't, well, it would be like if I wasn't paying attention and hit a car and totaled the truck on our trip to New Hampshire. I might eventually make it once I get a new car, if I can get a new car, but I'm going to be late. It's going to change how the journey goes. Or I might just miss it entirely, especially if I get that new car and I'm not paying attention and I hit another vehicle and total that new car. Eventually, they're just going to take my license and go, "You don't get to drive. You are irresponsible. You are not ready for this." So it is with us. We need to be very careful, because otherwise we're going to keep continually wrecking and miss our destination. We also need to be watchful along the journey, over our destination itself. Where are we going? Now, we drive typically to Berlin, New Hampshire, spelled like Berlin, Michigan, or Berlin, Germany. And I don't know if you know this, but if you punch in Berlin into your GPS unit, Google Maps will first, if it's not used to telling you to go to New Hampshire or the one in Michigan, the first result is Berlin, Germany. It will route you to the nearest airport and try and help you buy a plane ticket. If you're trying to get to Berlin, New Hampshire, you are going to wind up in the wrong place. You're going to have missed the mark of your destination. Or it's going to tell you, you will get to Berlin, New Hampshire in 2 hours, 30 minutes. And you're looking at that going, "Wow, that is very fast." Nope, that's Berlin, Michigan. Oh. In our spiritual lives, it's the same. What's our destination? Is it just somewhere fun? Like Panama City Beach, Florida for spring break? Is it just enjoying my life as I go along? And whatever good happens, well, that's nice, but as long as I can take what I can get out of it. Maybe it's heaven. But heaven by a hair. You know what I mean? Like, I made it into heaven, but by a hair. I enjoyed everything this world had to offer, as long as it didn't exclude me, in my mind, from entering the kingdom of heaven at the end of my life. Because if we're honest, that is how some of us live. And that is the mentality some of us have. That it is the minimum requirement to get to heaven is what I'll do and how I'll live. Or is the destination of our lives complete Christ-likeness? That point where we say, I know my target, I know my destination, I know what it looks like, and it is complete and total surrender of myself and my will to God, to be shaped and molded and formed, even when it's uncomfortable, to be like Jesus. And I will tell you, if you read through the scriptures, you will not find anywhere that Jesus says, here are the things in the world that are just totally cool. You can go ahead and do that and have fun as long as you give me just enough. Nowhere does Jesus say, if you follow me with 75% or even 98% effort, it's cool, it's good enough. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Which makes sense, considering Jesus was the one who picked up the cross and went, and then is now the King of Heaven. So I trust him to know what he's talking about there. Now, that's great. What does that have to do with Advent? God is at work and is on the move in our world. Yes? Can we at least agree to that as a commonality? Like, whatever that looks like, how he is working, what he is trying to do, what he allows himself to do, he may set himself some limits, but can we at least agree that God is trying to work in his believers' lives, in all of our lives, and also in the world at large? Can we agree to that? Yes. Okay. I heard 24% agreement on that one, so I'll take it. How are we going to know that God is working? How did Jesus know where God wanted him to go? The easy cop-out church answer is to say, because Jesus was God. That's not how Jesus knew. Because Jesus was constantly watching his Father. Jesus prayed enough to be able to hear from his Father and know his Father's will, but only enough to know, I am to remain connected and receive his Father's will, not so much that he missed out on the world around him and where God was trying to not only work in him, but have him work in the world. And that's an important thing as we talk about Advent and watchfulness. Because Jesus is out there praying and reading scripture, which is that watchfulness and preparation combined. Pastor Duane talked about Mary answering the angel in scripture because she had prepared her mind and her heart with so much scripture. Jesus had done that as well. I mean, he was a rabbi. He would have had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. Likely he had the prophets and the Psalms memorized as well. After all, he loved his Father, and his Father inspired those works through the Holy Spirit, so they would have been important to him. But he was constantly watchful in prayer. Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I be for you, my God? But also, Lord, where are you working in the world, and how do I go join? And it's the same thing for us. And this is where this watchfulness and this idea of complete Christ-likeness intersects so much with this concept of Advent and that we talked about a couple weeks ago of making sure that Christ is King in our lives. God is working. God is constantly trying to reach you and reach me and make us more like Jesus. He is constantly trying to speak to our hearts. This is how I want you to be. This is who I want you to be. It is on us to be reading the scriptures and knowing that it aligns with what we hear in our minds, what we feel in our hearts of what we should do, how we should be, what kinds of things are okay and not okay, that they align with what we see in the scriptures. And that we are praying and asking God, Lord, how are you trying to work in me? Where are you trying to move and show up more in my life? Because it's easy to sit and ask God, I want you to move in this area of my life. When Alyssa was diagnosed with MS, our most frequent prayer was, Lord, I want you to move in healing power on Alyssa like you did with the blind man, like you did with the lame man, like you did with Lazarus in the grave. Exert some of that holy power and change Alyssa's body situation. It hasn't happened yet. I say yet, I'm still asking. I'm never going to stop. But over time, I began to pray and realize God was saying, hey, are you asking me how you want me to move in your spirit? Are you asking me how I want you to change in how you trust me? I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but are you ready for me to move in those ways? And it was hard. It still is some days. But I've learned through looking at that advent of how God showed up that I have a lot more peace about what happens in our family and with our bodies and how I look at this world. And in my watchfulness towards keeping my eyes on Jesus than I did if God would have just answered my requests immediately. Because I would have just been like, okay, great, now I can just go back to life as normal. And been sucked into the world of getting angry over politics and posting stupid things on Facebook all the time. And instead, now, what happens in the government is going to happen. I use my votes. I have my voice. And I may be passionate over some of it, but it's never going to steal my joy and it's never going to steal my peace. And that is the work that God is trying to do. That's the type of work that God is trying to do. But we only know that He is going to do those things if we're watching for Him to do it and preparing to allow Him to do it. Similarly, Jesus knew where to go because he was watching where his Father was working. We see areas in this world where God is at work, or where there is opportunity for God to be at work in this world. For a long time I prayed, Lord, give me the roadmap of my life. I want to receive it so I can follow you. And I still don't have one. I did not know when I was in high school that I was going to end up here. I did not know that. Did any of you know that I was going to come here? No. Okay. Pastor Ed, I think you probably would have been pastoring at Caro around then. Or maybe downriver, I'm not sure. But you had no idea I was going to be here and that one day I would be your pastor. Because typically God doesn't give us roadmaps for our lives, which is really frustrating sometimes, but entirely steps up the importance of that watchfulness on Him. But because I was watching Christ, and this is not to brag or boast, other than to say, listen, God can do this and it's incredible when He does it. We came here and sensed God was working in this church. There was no divine revelation through a vision or a dream that we were going to come here. I just called Glenn Gardner, our DS, and said, hey, I want some ministry opportunities on the district. Can you help me find something? I feel in my spirit it's the right time. And Glenn said, yeah, how about Ellington? And I said, sure, let's go. We'll put in the resume. I came and interviewed, and I sensed that God was at work here. We prayed about it, and it didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. So we said, yes, God is at work here. We feel like this is a good fit. We feel like these are wonderful people. Let's go join in God's work. If I had not been watching, I would have missed out on the wonderful experience of being here with you all. And my life would have been all the dimmer for it. Similarly, there are those smaller, seemingly less profound, but still every bit as powerful Advent moments in our lives as we meet those people that we encounter at work, at church, on the softball diamond, on the street, in the woods. Wherever you go, whatever you do, where there are other people, there is a God trying to work in their lives, just as He is trying to work in yours. And if we're watchful, we can find those ways that God is working and join. Or we can find those opportunities for God to work and allow Him to work through us in that situation. For example, I have a friend who goes, and when she sees somebody who just needs a little bit of extra care and love, she just says, hey, let me sit with you in church. And it's simple. And it's an act of kindness and relationship. And it means the world to the people she sits with. And it means the world to me as her friend to get to see that. I have another friend who keeps an extra coat in his car. He works in an urban area where there's a lot of homeless, and he recognizes there's a need there. And so he's watchful as he goes about his day and as he's driving. And when somebody doesn't have one, he gives them a coat and he prays with them. And he just says, hey, listen, Jesus loves you. And He wants you to be warm. He wants your physical needs to be met, and that's why I feel burdened to do this, because He wants your soul to be warmed by His love, which is why I do this. Things that would be missed if we were not being watchful. Those Advent moments, and I can tell you there are so many that we do miss. Fortunately, God's grace covers us in that. But how much better it is when we do take the time connect with our God and say, what are you doing in this world? Where can I watch? Where can I join in? And kind of that final piece of Advent, God coming near, not just in the world, but in the lives of individuals, in the lives of us, His people, as a church and as individuals. If we are not watching, we will miss the works that God is trying to do in us. If we are watchful and we are prepared, God can show up and do incredible things in our lives. We talk about Him pretty frequently here, the things that He's doing, the ways He's changing us. And we're going to keep doing that more. We just didn't this week because I knew I was going to go a little long. So thank you. But my question to you is this. What's your destination? Are you just here for a good time and the good things are nice? I mean, that's your call. Are you shooting for heaven by a hair? I would say my inner southern fundamentalist preacher says, you better hope you get on the right side of the right hair. Or is it complete Christ-likeness? Is it, Lord, I want all of you in all of me. I will watch for you and I will let you move in whatever ways you need to. And I will look for the ways that you are trying to move and I will move with you in that direction. And on that road, if your destination is set to complete Christ-likeness, how's it going? How's the watchfulness game? Is it tiring? Because it can be. I didn't hit heavily on that like I had initially planned, but kind of like driving a car for a long period of time gets exhausting from the mental exertion, that spiritual exertion takes its toll if we are not constantly going through a cycle of resting in the Lord and trusting Him to work on our behalf and move, recharging in the Scripture and in praise and in His power. Maybe you're just getting a little tired and you need to just say, Lord, I'm going to take a little rest. World, I'm going to take a little rest and rest in Jesus for a little while. Maybe you've been looking down at the phone. Maybe you've been getting distracted a little bit more. Or maybe right now you're watching as hard as you can and there is something that has come into your life that you just don't know how to avoid and you don't know if there is any way that you can. Maybe there is something that it's like a semi-truck has come into your side of the freeway, is going the wrong way, and is barreling down at you, and you just don't know if you're going to be able to get out of the way in time. I don't have a good, easy answer for that one because there isn't one, but we go through those too. And I just wanted to let you know that you are thought of and prayed for, and there is a God who can move to help protect you and care for you in those times. As we go to pray today, I do want to challenge that question big time. What is your destination? And I want you to take a moment and think. And Gwen, would you be willing to come and pray and play something softly? If today you would say, I want to change my destination to be complete Christ-likeness. Either I've been living in heaven by a hair, I've been going about it saying, Lord, I'll give you what I feel like I want to give you, but I'm still going to enjoy what I've got, and I want to make a change, I'd invite you to come to the altar. You can pray where you are. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes in a second, and I'm going to ask some questions, and then we're going to pray together, and we're going to give an opportunity here for anybody who says, I want to not miss out on everything God has for me, both in this life and in the one to come. And we'll pray over that. And then we'll dismiss to go and live in that. But first, if everyone could bow their head, close your eyes. I would ask, is there anyone today who would say, I have not been chasing after Christ in full. I have not been making Him my destination, but today I want to. Today I want to make Him the most important thing because I don't want to miss out on what He has for me. Thank you. Thank you. Whether your hand was raised or not, if you would follow in this prayer, Lord Jesus, I confess that I have not been following you the way that I need to. I have not been making you everything in my life. But I want to, and today I ask you to help me change my heart and work in me to become more like you, to watch for you and prepare a place for you and prepare for the work that you're going to do in me. And I will trust in you and I will walk with you in your power and in the promise that you are at work in me to will and to act in accordance with your purposes. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness. Lord, for our friends who are tired, we pray for spiritual reviving and peace. For the ones who just are facing down something big right now, Lord, give them comfort and support. Help us as we know and as we know how to give our support and lift prayers to you. Lord, help us to be ever watchful over where you are moving, over the things that would try and pull us away from you and avoid them and stay close to you and to watch where you are going so that we would not be led astray, but have you in the center of our vision, being our everything. Because we know that it is through your work in making us more like Christ that we become fit for heaven. Lord, we thank you for this season when we celebrate your love coming down to earth in the form of Jesus. And we thank you for this season in which we remember you are always working in our lives, showing up with your power and your glory. Help us to see it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would stand and receive a blessing this morning, I would love to pray one over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, and may he reveal himself to you in new and powerful ways. And may he give you peace. Amen.